For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of All Steelers Talk, your favorite Pittsburgh Steelers podcast. We're your host, Noah Strackbine, joined always by the lovely Donnie Droon. And make sure, before we even get started here, to go subscribe to our YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Make sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook at All Steelers. And of course, follow your favorite podcast hosts at Noah Strack, at Donnie Droon. Donnie, it is a wild week of Pittsburgh Steelers training camp. Maybe not really, but there's plenty going on. How you been?
I'm good, man. It's actually raining here out in Arizona. It's monsoon season. So I think we picked a really nice day to record. Staying dry over here, though. Season? But I mean, yeah, dude. So the desert, like in the summertime, it's called like monsoon season. So where like it's just like a crazy wild just like period of time where like thunderstorms are just like pop up randomly. And it's like hard like rain for like little spurts of time. It's crazy.
Wow, that's nuts, actually. Do you get like crazy flooding and stuff?
Sometimes, yeah, dude. Last week, there was some like crazy flooding on like interstate roads and whatnot.
Like Pittsburgh gets the bathtub. They have like, for some reason, every highway in Pittsburgh or parkway in Pittsburgh, it's a highway, goes like this. So like it just dips in like a bathtub. And they always flood every time it rains. And like nobody was like, man, maybe we should just not do that. And it wouldn't flood. I don't know. It kind of shocked me.
Flooding isn't huge here, but like you would think with all the monsoon and stuff that they would have some sort of system to like get all of like the water out. Because like I know it only rains like four times a year here, but like whenever it rains here, it goes like crazy hard. Obviously, I'm kidding. Obviously, it's a little bit more than four.
I was gonna say it rained four times in the last 12 hours here. Like it stopped and started four different times. That's a whole other, I couldn't even imagine. Yesterday, 2 days ago, actually, my apartment building, maybe more than 2 days ago, my apartment building was actually shaking to how much thunder was outside, like shaking. I was sitting around texting people. I'm like, yo, tonight might be the night I die. Like, this is a strong possibility. It's crazy. Yo,
two nights ago, I actually got a weather advisory for 80 mph winds at night. I was gonna look out the window and they're like dogs just gonna be flying by.
What do you even do? I would blow away. Like I don't, there's not a chance. I live in the oldest apartment of all time and I guarantee you it would just crumble to the ground in 80
miles. I'm just built different.
Yeah, again, Arizona is just built different in general. I don't know, they ain't Pittsburgh. I'm telling you that much. Pittsburgh ain't surviving 80 mph winds. but let's talk some football, man. It's training camp. We are about to enter the first preseason home opener, or I guess the only preseason home opener. The Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Detroit Lions. And before we get to that, we have some potential roster moves coming. Maybe. Big maybe. The Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday, 2 days ago, restructured Stephon Tuitt's contract. They converted his salary into a signing bonus, saving them $6.35 million, I believe, which left them with $18.5 million in available cap space. Immediately, everyone went nuts. This is it. Something is happening. Oh, my gosh. Maybe it's TJ Watt. Maybe it's CJ Henderson. We don't know. What do you think's going on, or what do you know is going on?
Yeah, so even before the Tuitt restructure, I feel like the Steelers were in a really solid place cap space-wise moving into the 2021 season. I know we've said this a bunch of times over the offseason. They usually like to carry a little bit extra cash in their wallet just in case anything were to happen, just in case anything were to come about. But going from about $12 to $18 million in cap space, you don't do that for fun. You don't free up that sort of money just to have it kind of sit there unless you're really thinking about 2022 and rolling some of that cap space over to the following year. Maybe. But if that's the case, I feel like that could have happened way before the third week of the preseason for you, basically the second week for the rest of the NFL. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, we're hoping that the T.J. Watt contract extension comes through any day now. I mean, I feel like we were hoping for it to already have been done by the time we recorded so we could talk about it, but here we are. I don't think they're in the market and trying to make a big, big splash for anybody just because I don't know who they would go out and get. You know, Xavier Howard already got his contract settled and is going to stay in Florida. I know C.J. Henderson has been kind of on the market a little bit, but I can't foresee the Steelers going out and getting him unless they can get a really good deal on him. It's just I don't know. And that's the thing. The Steelers, you know, are very, very good about not leaking who they plan on getting, because we had no clues about Minkah Fitzpatrick coming to Pittsburgh until right about whenever it happened. And I feel like if the Steelers were to make a move like that, it'd be the same exact thing. So as of right now, at the moment, no leads, no ideas for me. I'm completely lost besides a massive, massive T.J. Watt contract coming through.
Yeah, T.J. Watt's getting a contract, and it's going to be huge. I actually fully expected it to be done by the end of Tuesday. I was, like, texting people. I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I was texting people like, hey, T.J. Watt is getting a contract extension by the end of Tuesday. That's what I'm hearing. I was totally wrong. The people telling me were totally wrong. But that's okay. Either way, though, it's not going to – the Steelers, I think, when they made the Schobert trade, knew that they needed to be at a certain number. And they were at that number to say, you know, okay, this is what we are going to have to pay T.J. Watt, which really won't be a ton of money this season, at least like salary cap-wise. So they should be able to just kind of brush that off like it's nothing whenever it does happen. And, you know, that's going to be a number like $90 million signing bonus, $160 million total, like something crazy like that. But why do you need $18.5 million? You don't. Even if you're looking to carry 10 of it into the regular season, that's $8.5 million that you now have to spend somewhere. Maybe TJ takes like 3, maybe 4 of that $1 million. That still leaves you with 4.5. Like, why would they? And why would they roll it over to next season? I get like the theory, but I'm just asking, like, why would it make sense for them to do that outside of Minkah Fitzpatrick? But I still think that they have the numbers to make that happen too. So I don't necessarily know if the Steelers – I don't know if they have a plan. I'm sure they do have a plan, but I don't know what it could be. Is C.J. Henderson that big of a need, or are we just screaming at cornerback and saying, jump ship, we're giving up, it's go and get somebody and call it a day? I don't know.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of looking at the cornerback position, just hoping any sort of quote-unquote upgrade appears on the market. And anybody who does appear on the market, obviously the Steelers would be interested because they can upgrade the position.
Mm-hmm.
I think – I don't know, because, like, you don't convert somebody's salary to a signing bonus for fun. Like, that's just not something you do right before the season, like we already pointed out. Steelers already had a bunch of cap space, so I'm completely clueless as to what – could be going on. Maybe they're trying to get something done with Minkah. Maybe, but like I feel like that would wait until the next offseason, especially whenever you still have T.J. Watt's contract still being negotiated. So who knows, man?
I don't know. I think right now it's just a giant mystery. I truly would not be surprised if the Steelers just walked into the regular season, got the T.J. Watt contract done, and didn't do anything else. And they were just like, well, we're going to see how bad guys like Chooks are, or guys like Arthur Millett are, and, you know, we're going to play it by ear then, and just maybe they'll make a move in the regular season. But right now, it just doesn't even make sense. Like, what are they going to do? They're going to go out and get a cornerback. They're going to go out and get a left tackle. They're going to go out and get this piece or that piece and then hope that they work out. Like, we have 2 weeks left of cuts. That's 2 weeks left for the Pittsburgh Steelers to make plenty of moves and see plenty of tape. Right now, I don't think is a time that they go out and make a big splash move. And everybody fully expects it to happen. I just think it's going to be the T.J. Watt contract.
Yeah, I mean, if we're putting our money on anything, obviously I feel like the T.J. Watt contract has to be the absolute favorite, right? But mm-hmm. I think you actually made a good point too. The Steelers don't have to trade for anybody until week 8 of the NFL season. You know, and that's almost halfway through the entire year for them to try to see what weak spots they have, whether that be a cornerback, whether that be somewhere along the offensive line. If they feel they need to, they have the money and the resources to go out and improve one position. Because like we've been talking about through the entire offseason, This is the year. If you are going to win a Super Bowl, it has to be right here and right now.
Right now, do or die. It's a do or die year. They've done that with everything they've done. It's we're going to win right now. We do not care about the future. We are going to win right now. Every single move that they've made this offseason has said that. But speaking of trades and not having to trade until week 8 of the regular season, James Washington finally talked to the media today for the first time since his reported trade request with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he was asked, James, did you put in a trade request and are you happy being in Pittsburgh? This is what he had to say.
You know, that's a little private conversation. But as far as me being happy in Pittsburgh, you know, I love to hear, you know, who wouldn't be happy playing, you know, football as their job. So, you know, I come to work every day with a smile on my face. You know, I'm eager to be here with my guys, you know, joke around, laugh around and play the sport that I love and, you know, continue playing the sport that I love and, you know, just enjoying life.
Donnie, that 110%
that man,
like somebody's who's getting traded.
That man sent a trade request in via phone call, email, Pony Express, FedEx, Amazon Prime, UPS, anything and everything to get out of Pittsburgh. That man did it.
Oh gosh, yeah. That was as soon as the words came out of his mouth, I smiled in the Zoom call. I was like, yep, that's a yes. You know, he didn't say yes, but that's a yes. It's a private conversation. So apparently they had a conversation. It's private, but we all know what was said. Hey, James isn't doing anything. He's a fourth string wide receiver on a team that has way too many wide receivers. He's a second round pick. Please trade the man. I don't know.
I can't blame him. I cannot blame him for wanting to go somewhere and play other football. I mean, you've seen receiver after receiver be drafted after you in hopes of kind of climbing the depth chart over you. That's kind of what's happened the last couple of years. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about James Washington and how he doesn't really bring a whole lot of dynamic to the Steelers offense. But at the end of the day, he still finds himself as a pretty solid receiver. Obviously, he likes playing in Pittsburgh. He loves being part of that receiver's room. But like any true competitor, he wants to be the number one guy. You can't really blame him. I think both you and I agree that he won't be on the Steelers next year. So, you know, maybe he wants to go somewhere and get something long-term locked up. Who knows?
Exactly. Here, this is just to more support our hypothesis here that he definitely did. This is when he was asked if he had conversations about being more involved in this offense.
You know, it's been talked about. But as far as, like I said earlier, I'm just trying to do what I can. You know, I just want to show people that I can be available and, you know, make the plays that you want me to make and, you know, just do what I need to do.
Yeah, no, James is out. And he said it's exactly what Adam Schefter reported, which I have two things about this. For one, now we can no longer trust Mike Tomlin. That can't happen because Mike Tomlin said flat out, nope, it didn't happen. We're not responding to those reports. Well, yeah, it did happen, Mike, because James just said that it happened, or at least something happened. Two, James Washington is such a quiet dude and such a do whatever I need to dude that to push him to this limit truly shows that the Steelers just were just like, whatever, man, we are so done. And my big question, will it come back to bite them in the butt? Because the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to lose Juju Smith-Schuster next offseason. They're probably going to lose James Washington either before then or after the end of this upcoming season. You're left with Deontay and Chase Claypool basically back to square one. Does that hurt your receiving core, especially if you're losing Ben and now you got to work with a new quarterback?
Yeah, but like – square one with Claypool and Deontay Johnson doesn't sound as bad as a lot of people might want it to be.
True.
And we got to remember, man, like the Steelers especially are very, very good at finding those very nice receivers a little bit deeper into the draft that a lot of people might be willing to reach into. Also, shout out to my man Adam in the chat. Maybe waiting till Final Cuts to see who's out there. Maybe. And, you know,
yeah, but do they need
there's always a team – who is going to have a tough time cutting receiver, and they end up cutting a couple guys they necessarily don't want to, then they see a guy pop up on the available market, and then let's not forget injuries as well. And that's something that was even brought up with Chase Claypool whenever he had his minor ankle sprain that sent Steelersation into a
complete
about an hour or two of praying and, you know, repenting for all of their sins and everything else bad they had done in the previous year.
Very true. And that's, you know, that's the case. I don't think James wants to wait that out. I don't think he's like, man, if somebody goes down, I'm the next guy. I think he's looking at it like, in 365 days, I will be making significantly more money than I am right now. I need to play football and show that I'm worth that second contract somewhere, because he'll get a contract no matter whether he plays or not. It's just about how much he's going to get in that second contract. And when it comes to a guy like Claypool going down or a guy like that, yeah, the Steelers would really hate for James not to be around if they get to that point. And, you know, with final cuts, whoever's out there. The problem is I don't think the Steelers want another guy, at least not another guy that's going to be here for quality reps. I think, if anything, all they want is that guy to come in and be like a better Ray Ray, to be that guy who's fifth on the depth chart, who's really not going to do a whole ton. But when he's out there, he might make a big play. And when he's not out there, nobody really cares that he's not out there. James Washington's just like a little too good for that role.
No, I hate to inform you. We've actually been ratioed in the chat. I don't know if you saw.
I don't even know what that means.
You know what? You don't know what being ratioed means?
No, I'm old. What does this mean?
Old.
It's like being like flamingoed, like when they put a bunch of flamingos in your front yard.
Kinda, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What is that? Is that just a bunch of people just say ratio?
So whenever somebody tweets out something like really bad, the ratio of like quote tweets where people are like trashing it to the amount of people which is like liking it or like responding well to it, the ratio of it is like super bad. So people always call it ratio underneath something. And then like that tweet always gets like a bunch of likes and stuff. Yeah.
Ratio. Here's your ratio around the 412. James Washington does not deserve to be in Pittsburgh. You want to know why? Because he deserves a contract. The dude's a second-round pick. He should be playing like a second-round pick, even if he's the third guy. But to be the fourth option on a football team that does not like to throw the football deep, no way. Sorry, Steelers, but he's too good for you. He's too good for them.
Ratio.
Ratio. All right, let's talk about the defense. James Washington is what James Washington is. And obviously that will come with time, but I truly believe that he's going to keep pushing the limit and saying, hey, please, please, please trade me. If anything, this goes back to your theory of whether or not James Washington was actually hurt. Maybe he was not. Maybe he was not. But we're going to go to the defensive side of the ball. For the first time this offseason, we saw the cornerback trio that I believe every single person has been waiting for. It was Joe Hayden and James Pierre on the outside with Cam Sutton playing the nickelback. Cam Sutton's also their dime linebacker to this point. They still need a slot guy, but it was a huge jump to say, hey, if we're going to replace Mike Hilton, Arthur Millett and Antoine Brooks Jr. probably are not it.
No, not it indeed. And I'm just really happy I sat there and I watched the Steelers-Eagles second preseason game. And I'm glad a lot of the decision makers on the team saw a lot of the same stuff I did. Because, boy, Cam Sutton cannot be thrown out there on the boundary week in and week out like that, man. No, not at all. And that is no dig towards Cam Sutton at all. Phenomenal player. Obviously, the Steelers believed in him. And that's why they brought him back on another contract. But, dude, like, I think at this moment in time, James Pierre, probably the better option on the boundary. Just me.
I kind of agree. I think James Pierre is a bigger dude. You know, he's lengthier. He's quicker. He just plays more natural on the outside. Cam Sutton is definitely the most versatile guy on the football field, which is huge. And that's a guy that you need. That's a guy that they want around. But, yeah, he does play Mike Hilton's role better than he plays Joe Hayden's role. And that speaks dividends about what you can do with him, because unfortunately, guys like Jalen Reagor are going to burn Cam Sutton left and right, like we saw in week two. But on the inside, Cam Sutton could hit a quarterback as hard as, I don't want to say TJ Watt, but as hard as most guys coming off the edge. He's also quick and are smart enough to know what to do on literally every position on the football field, probably both offense and defense. And he could play the dime backer, so he already knows how to play the inside and within the box as well as any other cornerback. I think at the same point, Antoine Brooks Jr. and Arthur Millett have looked so bad at times that, yeah, Cam Sutton needs to be that guy because there is a gaping hole when he is not that guy and you're relying on a sixth-round pick and a dude from the Jets who did nothing for the last 4 years to replace a Pro Bowler in Mike Hilton.
Yeah, I don't know, and that goes back to the being versatile thing. Like, why would you want to keep your queen on the chessboard on just like one side of it? Like, you want to move it around. You want to put in the best positions to succeed. And you know, sometimes Cam Sutton will be playing the outside. Other times Cam will be playing that linebacker role. Other times Cam will be playing in the slot. Like, there's a lot of different looks that Keith Butler's going to have to throw towards an offense's way throughout the course of the game. And I feel like just keeping Cam Sutton on the outside as that cornerback two opposite of Joe Hayden for an entire game probably wouldn't pay a lot more dividends than putting James Pierre out for there would be doing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, Pierre, at least to me, is at least a little bit better equipped to keep up those outside receivers, whereas Cam Sutton's more of that, like, physical guy who can come off of the edge, who can, you know, come out of that nickelback role and get into the backfield whenever asked upon. So I think it's a good move, moving Cam Sutton inside. I feel like that should have been the game plan from day one. I do understand why the Steelers wanted to see Cam Sutton on the outside, because you still need to throw him out there and see what you got. You also still need to see what guys like Antoine Brooks and Arthur Millett bring to the table at the slot cornerback position. So, I mean, two preseason games in, this is exactly why you play those games. But at the end of the day, you need to look at the reps and see what they did and didn't do well. And obviously the Steelers saw what everybody else saw, and that's Cam Sutton not having a great time as the cornerback opposite Joe Hayden.
Yeah, and I think that played a major role. I also think that they saw that the guy, whoever was on the inside, was slacking and was not really getting much pressure on the quarterback and really doing anything that they needed that guy to do. So they said, okay, let's try somebody out. Keith Butler basically said, yo, look, this is like the most important position on our defense right now, and if we don't fill this the correct way, it's going to be a major problem. And he's right. If it's Antoine Brooks Jr. or if it's Arthur Millett or maybe Trey Norwood, who I would never put in there because I would be terrified of what a left tackle would do to Trey Norwood off the edge. But whoever it is, if it's not Cam Sutton, you're looking at him and going, man, the team that the Steelers are playing as a guy like Jarvis Landry or a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster or a guy like Cooper Kupp, it is over. Like, over. That guy will have an absolute field day because who else are you going to put on him? Joe Schobert, Devin Bush? No, that's not how that works. And this is also true. The depth at DB does seem very suspect. The problem is that there's a bunch of guys like Justin Lane and like Mark Gilbert who could play pretty good football, but sometimes they play really bad football. Okay, Justin Lane maybe is okay. That example. Okay. Mark Gilbert is where I'm going with this. Justin Lane has also shined a couple of times at training camp with like tipped balls and, you know, being in the right place at the right time type of thing.
Good for him. I still would never, ever roll Justin Lane out if my entire life depended on it. I would not put Justin Lane on the football field.
I wouldn't either, but he's going to be the next guy in after James Pierre or, you know, Joe Hayden or Cam Sutton or whoever's on the outside. He's definitely going to be the first guy off the field if it's not James Pierre starting.
And that's another good thing because Shakur Brown had a lot of hype coming into the preseason, and I haven't heard too much of Shakur.
He's
the first two preseason games.
He's, you know, he's real hit or miss. At times he does look pretty good at training camp and he has a good day, a quality day with reps. And then the next day he'll kind of just disappear or he'll get burnt a couple of times. He is definitely by far the slowest cornerback the Steelers have by a mile. But that doesn't mean a ton on the inside. And truthfully, I think that he's a guy that could compete on that inside role that they haven't talked about. I mean, Tomlin said, hey, we have guys that haven't even tried out for that position yet that might. Oh, we got a question right for you here, Donnie. Go ahead. Tell everybody how you left us. But you didn't leave us.
Bro, I didn't leave anybody. So right now, yeah, I am basically I'm just on podcast duty for Steelers coverage. I'm not writing basically anything anymore. Noah and then the rest of the phenomenal guys at All Steelers, guys like Garrett, guys like Cody, all of those guys have been holding it down while I've been kind of doing my own thing. But yeah, I've moved to a lot more Arizona Cardinals and Arizona State Sun Devils coverage, trying to be a little bit more local since I actually do live out here in Arizona. But yeah,
Donnie left us, man. Donnie was like, hey, we're off. No, Donnie's on to bigger and better things, but don't worry, because he's not leaving. He's not going anywhere at all when it comes to All Steelers talk. So we appreciate all of the kind words that anybody has towards him. But when it comes to Justin Lane and the defensive backs, and we keep getting distracted because we're loving the comments right
Bro,
now.
I love the chat right now.
Look, Justin Lane is a complete disaster of a defensive back. We all know that. He's not a guy that you're going to put on the field and say, please stop this wide receiver, because he's not going to do that. But that's probably their best option behind anybody. Shakur Brown might solve that, but Shakur Brown is still a guy that somehow went from a fourth round projection to undrafted and like somebody that everybody was like, no, don't touch him. He is really bad at football. I don't know why, but it has to do with more than his speed or his unathleticism. I don't know. I don't think that the Steelers are that thin or that suspect, I guess. I just think that they have a lot of pieces in the starters that haven't clicked yet. And once those pieces click, you're not going to really need depth as much as you think that they are. I mean, last season, that second guy, Cam Sutton, played on the outside like maybe five times a game. Maybe.
I think there's a lot of question marks for the Steelers secondary, at least in the depth purposes of it. I think everything is riding on James Pierre, because if James Pierre comes to fruition, he plays like a lot of people think he will, I think the Steelers are going to be fine. I think a good James Pierre will be an upgrade from what we saw out of Steven Nelson in 2020. But if James Pierre comes out and doesn't perform to expectations, then we got problems. Yeah. We got problems, because there's not another great outside secondary corner to take over a very bad James Pierre. And if we have Cam Sutton playing on the outside, that means a guy like Arthur Millette or a guy like Antoine Brooks is playing on the inside. And that's also not a very good thing. If Joe Hayden goes down, that's a world of hurt for everybody.
It's all over.
Yeah.
It's all over. That's when it's all over. But at that point,
that's when you put that salary cap money into good.
Exactly. Just to come full circle, that's when the Steelers would use that extra cap space to go, hey, you know, a guy like CJ Henderson's still on the block. Let's go snag him real quick. Just like they did with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Just like they did when Joe Hayden was released and they signed him going into the fourth preseason game. There's just so much that could happen in a season that they don't want to do. They don't want to do a move or make a move right now and jump the gun. If anybody's not on YouTube right now listening to this, you are crazy, because you need to be on YouTube in the group chat. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal place to be. And we'll just give Around the 412 a little shout out here.
Yeah, big shout out Around the 412. I love those guys.
Because this is a great one, and we'll all join you. Don't worry. Thank you, everybody. We love all you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of All Steelers Talk, as we break down training camp and everything happening in training camp there at Heinz Field. Well, next week we'll be at UPMC Rooney Sports Complex, actually. So everywhere in Pittsburgh. Thank you. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter at All Steelers. And as always, subscribe to your favorite podcast host at Donnie Jeroen, at Noah Strack. And we will see you before the Steelers' third preseason game against the Detroit Lions this Saturday.
We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by Root Metrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on Root Metrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
For 75 years, AIR has used evidence to improve lives. Over the next five, we're investing more than $100 million into social science research so we can build upon a body of evidence that will inform policies and fight systemic inequality. It's called the AIR Equity Initiative, and it's how we'll bridge the gaps that hold us back. Learn more about how we're applying our know-how to right now at AIR.org/equity.